Troy and Sue, isn't it great to be part of something that's bigger than just here? I love to hear these reports every month and see what God is doing around the world. It's beautiful. So thank you, folks. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of the scriptures? Just a few short ones today. It says in Matthew 7:12, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." 1 Corinthians 13:4, "Love is patient, love is kind." Key word today. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to share together today. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would help us understand how deeply we have and how generously you have been kind to us. Your word tells us, be holy for your heavenly Father is holy, but it also tells us, be kind for he is kind. And I pray that you'd help us to grasp this today. It will change the world if we do. Help us, shape us, change us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever received service that was so good that you were overwhelmed? Yeah. Maybe it was a waitress or a waiter that went above and beyond. I mean, maybe it was a hotel clerk that wowed you with their grace, dedication, and work ethic. We had a van driver from a hotel to the Milwaukee airport one time. I couldn't get enough money out of my wallet to give to him because he had such great customer service. Didn't cost me anything, but what? He was so good at what he did that he just like reached in your back pocket and took everything out of there, including the cards. He was just that good. Well, there are some people that are just that kind. They have that ability. Maybe you've run into a mechanic that did that. Maybe it was a staff person or a nurse or a physician at a clinic or a hospital. Genuine kindness has a way of catching us off guard, doesn't it? Of kind of setting us back on our heels. We don't know how to respond all the time. Kindness humbles us, it causes us to pause and think, it overwhelms us with gratitude, and it inspires us to kindness. Here's a reality that psychiatrists and psychologists will tell you. Kindness given to you will actually change your body chemistry. It's really an amazing thing what happens when people are kind. And for all its amazing transformative qualities, you would think that you could find kindness everywhere in every situation. But we know, just take a moment and think back on your week. You weren't kind in every situation, were you? I wasn't. I try, but man, you know, there are moments. Anybody here ever had a little road rage? Listen, here's something that I have a real struggle with. I do not understand why people don't know how to make left-hand turns. You know what I'm, thank you, yes, amen. And so you just go, we're not always the kindest people. But you would think that as good as it feels to be kind, as good as it is to be on the receiving end of kindness, that we would want to be addicted to it. Such a good thing. How come we're not addicted to it? But the truth is that most of our relationships are transactional obligations. If you do this for me, I'll do that for you. If you do that for me, I'll do this for you. And transactional relationships, transactional thinking, are primarily focused on what we get out of the relationship. It's hard to be kind when you're worried about what you're going to get out of a relationship. It's difficult to do what Jesus wants you to do if you're trying to get something from people. When we read the Gospels and we just look at how Jesus interacts with people, it is amazing at his kind and selfless approach, isn't it? It's just stunning sometimes. He was not encumbered by the transactional, what am I going to get out of this? Is it worth my effort? Attitudes that just saturate our thinking. Can you imagine how different it would have been if Jesus had seen Zacchaeus and said, I don't know what I'm going to get out of that. Or the man who had been laying by the pool for decades needed healing and he just went, there's nothing in this for me. If I heal you, will you do this? Can you imagine that transactional thinking? No way. That's not how he operates. He operates in kindness whether or not there is a return. This is what we're going to find out about him. So our families, our churches, our society could use a generous dose of Christ-likeness this week, couldn't they? This kindness that he offers. So at the outset, I want us to consider the imperative that we are recipients of God's kindness. This is what this whole thing hinges on. If you and I can actually accept and believe that we are recipients of the kindness of God, it will change us. If we fail at this point, we're going to continually work against the Holy Spirit's desire to produce kindness in us. We have to start here. This singular point clears the way for kindness to flourish in us and through us. God's attitudes and actions of kindness are quite overwhelming, and they are humbling. Sadly, we tend to take this as an intellectual exercise. And I've been praying. I was up last night. I was up early this morning. It's like, Lord, help us get this. If we don't get anything else this Sunday, help us get this. And you have to do it, Holy Spirit. You have to do it because we intellectually, yeah, God was kind to me. We get that. But it has to be more than an intellectual assent to the kindness of God. Lord, help us understand that you have been kind to us. Extravagantly kind. So we're going to take a moment and consider the nature of God's kindness. What is the nature of God's kindness? Two passages of Scripture come into focus when we think about the kindness of God. Psalm 103, 8 through about 10, and Romans 5, verses 6 and 8. This is what Psalm 103, 8 through 10 tells us about the kindness of God. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, which is the definition of patience, correct? Abounding in love. I love these words. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. And then I get to this next line, and I just have a tough time because I tend to lose it. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Say it with me. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. We're going to do it again, but you have to not get in bovine repetition. This is life-giving. Say it like you actually mean it. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. That's stunning, isn't it? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, how far is that? Infinity, right? So far has he removed our transgressions from us. I get in that little phrase, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, and I think, God is awesome. And then I look at the church and I say, we do just the opposite. We want to treat people as their sins deserve. And we need to be kind as our Heavenly Father is kind, which is what? He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. God is kind. He is gracious. He's compassionate. Friends, if he treated us the way we deserved, who could stand? What kind of hope would you have if God was treating you the way you deserved this week? I'm having a sense that if God treated us the way we deserve this week, there'd be nothing but a dustpan full of ashes in this room. He'd have crucified us, right? Unjustly so. He's kind, and kindness is not transactional. It's not, this is going to be hard to understand. It is not justice focused. It's not about whether it's fair or not. Was it fair that Jesus had to die to set me free from sin? No, but it was kind. Yeah. Kindness does not rest on a foundation of merit. America and the West, Western Europe, our societies are based on merit. You have to earn your way. E.F. Hutton, what? We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. Well, that's great for E.F. Hutton, but it doesn't work in the kingdom of God. It's not about being a person who merits the kindness of God. And it's not about what God gets out of the relationship, because what do we have to offer God anyways? He's complete in himself. You go over to Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 8. It says, at just the right time, I love this phrase, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God acted without regard for our willingness to comply or our prior compliance. He didn't say, I'll sacrifice my son for you when you comply or if you comply. He said, I'm going to sacrifice my son for you, period. End of discussion. He acted while we were still sinners. He loved, knowing the immense likelihood that we would just reject the sacrifice, and he expected nothing in return. What is that? Kindness. Kindness. Go to the story of the prodigal son. The father was kind to the son. He let him go his own way. He gave him time and space to figure it out. That's patience, right? He didn't respond with anger, offense, or retribution to his son who essentially wanted him dead. Instead, he was kind. And it's humbling to be recipients of such lavish kindness. And it should motivate us to relate to others with nothing less and nothing but what? Kindness. So, that's outrageous, isn't it? That anybody would be that kind to anyone is outrageous. We don't think that way because we love justice and we have a keen sense of what's fair and what's not. But God is kind. And we recognize the outrageous nature of God's kindness. It leads us to the realization that kindness is a manifestation of the Spirit. Remember, these nine virtues in Galatians 5, these are manifestations of the Spirit. I mean, we're Pentecostals and we love it. You know, there's speaking in tongues, there's prophecy, there's miracles, there's healings, there's words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those are all manifestations of the Spirit, Pastor. Yes. But so are the nine virtues that are included in this listing of the fruit of the Spirit. They also are manifestations of the Spirit's work in us, and they are evidence that the Spirit is alive in us and living in us. And kindness is a manifestation of the Spirit. It is nothing less than supernatural that you and I would be kind the way that God would be kind. How else could we sinful, selfish human beings be expected to live in kindness toward everyone? We can't do it on our own because our most natural instinct is to resort to merit-based thinking, to expect people to earn their way and to pick themselves up by the bootstraps, to desire justice and vengeance toward those who hurt and reject us. When every fiber of our being wants our pound of flesh, it requires divine intervention to be kind. We are saturated with transactional, merit-based love. Therefore, it takes divine intervention to be kind. Studying the fruit of the Spirit in the past several months, I have come to the conclusion that it might be more miraculous to show kindness than to speak in tongues or heal the sick. I'm telling you. I got nothing against having miracles. I want to see blind eyes open. Trust me, I do. But the reality is that day to day, God wants to see what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, right? Flowing out of his people. And it's not something I can just drum up. It's something that has to happen through the work of the Spirit in me, in you. So, as recipients of God's generous kindness, we need to consider how we might demonstrate Christian kindness to other people. I love the fact that Jesus keeps it so simple. The rules to the kingdom of Christ are uncomplicated. He doesn't overwhelm us with a bunch of new details. Anybody here read the book of Leviticus? You know, the Old Testament law book, Leviticus? Okay, so how you doing at keeping all that stuff? I wrecked it this week. I had pork sausage and bacon. I can't even do simple stuff, right? Jesus summarizes that whole thing when he says in Mark chapter 12, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your what mind, with all your strength. Okay, you got it, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. And I love how Matthew includes this expansion of what love your neighbor as yourself means when he quotes Jesus in Matthew 7:12, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. If you polled people on the street, the grocery market, at the restaurant and the soccer field this week, and you said, what's the golden rule? You would get that response. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Here's the missing part that really is starting to agitate my soul. So you got to read the New Testament closely. What does Jesus say before he gives us the golden rule? He says, in what? In everything. Yeah, they didn't put that on the poster in Royal Rangers. They just put the golden rule. I'm sorry, we made a mistake. Because the in everything, those two little words are huge in business, in marriage, in parenting, in church business meetings, when I'm dealing with someone at the store, when I'm trying to make a business deal, when I'm buying this, when I am on the road, in what? Everything. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do you want to know how to live a Christian life? That's it. Love God with your whole being and follow the golden rule. Put yourself in the place of other people and ask, what would I want them to do to me? How would I want to be treated? How would I want them to look at me and speak to me? It's simple, but you know as well as I do that it takes a lot of thinking to get there. It's one of the main points of studying the fruit of the Spirit. Christian love moves us beyond ourselves to love other people, and each virtue in the list helps us to accomplish this. To help, I want us to ask a few kindness questions, just to get us in the context of the golden rule. Imagine this for yourself. Maybe you're in this situation, but just imagine this for yourself if you are not there. If you fell on challenging times, if you lost a job, you couldn't make ends meet, if you were hungry, you needed clothing, or you needed a place to live, how would you want people to treat you, speak to you, and look at you? What would you want them to do for you? Then do it for the struggling person who's going to be in front of you this week, because there will be one. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? I've read Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has laid out in advance for us. You're going to run into somebody that's in this situation this week. How would you want to be treated if you were them? Next set of questions. If you were involved in a lifestyle that most people find repulsive, if you were an outcast from acceptable society, if you were profane, addicted, alcoholic, how would you want people to look at you, speak to you, and treat you? Then do it for the person who is an outcast who will be in front of you this week. That is kindness. You got your seatbelt on? The next one's touchy. If you were a conservative or a liberal, I told you, brace yourself. If you're a warmonger or a peacenik, if you're struggling with gender identity or you're cool with however you are, how would you want to be treated, looked at, or spoken to? You catch my drift? Then do it for the person outside of your comfort zone who will be in front of you this week. That is kindness, right? We all want to be accepted and respected. It's a universal need. We want to be treated with dignity. We don't want people to look down on us or make us feel inferior. We want people to listen to our plight. We want to be seen as capable. We despise feeling like people are suspicious of us or hate us or dislike us or won't pay attention to us. What is that? It is a longing for kindness. And Jesus says that if we are people who are walking in step with the Holy Spirit, if we are people who are under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, if we are listening to the Holy Spirit, we will demonstrate kindness. Kindness. I want to wrap this up considering two thoughts about kindness. Two thoughts. You know, the kindness of God is really difficult for us to imagine, even though we're recipients of it. I've seen it happen in people's lives, and they're just inundated with it, and they can't do anything but break down because they realize how kind God has been to them. Not everybody has that experience, so we have to ask him to help us. And how is it possible for us to resist the temptation to want something in return from somebody? Well, I'm going to be kind, but they better. Whoa, wait a minute. Is that kindness? If we have to ask them for certain things, and you know, like we're forcing people to not behave a certain way so that we will give them kindness in the transaction of the relationship. No. I mean, how could God love any of us that way? He doesn't. He loves us, period. Great 20th century theologian J.I. Packard captured the essence of God's kindness when he stated this. There is a tremendous relief in knowing that God's love to me or God's kindness to me is based at every point on his prior knowledge of the worst about me. Thank you. He knows my darkest secret. He knows the evil that is in my heart. He knows the worst things I've ever done or imagined doing. And yet he remains kind. Are you kidding me? Anybody humbled? We don't deserve it. We're not worth it. But he values us that way. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. This is a stunning reality. There's relief in knowing that God's love for me is based at every point on his prior knowledge of everything I've ever done that displeases him. God already knows the ugly details of our individual sinfulness, and he chooses to be kind. Why? Because kindness is a primary attribute of God's love. It is a primary attribute of God's love. Again, 1 Corinthians 13:4 opens with this: love is patient, love is kind. The first thoughts in Paul's mind when he's trying to define and describe love is patient, love is kind. Those two go hand in hand. In fact, these virtues in Galatians go in triplets: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. They're almost synonymous. He's layering truth upon truth. Here it is. God's love is patient. It is kind. This is how God acts toward us, and it is how he wants us to act toward each other and how he wants us to act toward everyone around us. You know, his love isn't just feelings. His love is transformative because it begins with being slow to anger, which is patience, and then kindness. Here's the catch. Kindness does not avoid the truth. Kindness is kind of warm and fuzzy. Then he has to go say that. It does not avoid the truth. Too often we assume that being kind means avoiding the truth. You know, being good Christian people, we're not given to lying to people deliberately, but we might avoid the truth not to hurt their feelings. If your doctor knew about a life-threatening diagnosis and he withheld it because he didn't want to hurt your feelings, would you think he was kind? No, the people that survive you would sue them for malpractice. We know how that works. Kindness presents the truth, but it has to be delivered in all the character of the Spirit's fruit, which is what? Love. Paul put it this way, Ephesians 4:5, speak the truth in... Oh, that's right. Love. Jesus told the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, "Lady, where are your accusers?" And she looked around, couldn't find any, and he looks at her, and I envision this, that he just lifts her chin in dignity, and he says, "Now go and sin no more. What you did got you into this mess. Now stop it. I saved you from destruction. Now, here's the truth. That lifestyle is going to ruin you." Was that kind? You better believe it was. The most kind thing he could say to her at that point is, "You are free to go, but go and sin no more." Too often, listen, and this is our problem. We speak the truth to get it off our chest. Well, there it is. There's the truth. I'm not sure that's truth in love. That's truth to give me relief, isn't it? Sometimes we speak the truth to help others will quit irritating us or embarrassing us. Well, there you go, there's the truth. Now quit embarrassing me. Quit irritating me. That's not truth in love. We need to speak the truth, but in kindness for the well-being of the other person, not for the relief of our own irritation and emotion. If I'm not telling the truth to build them up or to benefit them, I don't avoid telling the truth. But I need to make sure that my attitude is I'm here to grow you and to help you and to benefit you. Because if that truth will not benefit you, if you can't receive it in a way that will benefit you, I need to hold off until I can. Just press the hold button for a few days, pray about it, come back to it. Here. We love it when people are kind to us, don't we? It changes our thoughts. It changes our attitudes. It changes the way our day is going. It changes our body chemistry. It changes the way we treat other people, even if it's only for a few minutes. I mean, is it any wonder that Paul lauds these virtues in Galatians 5:22? Here's the deal. If we Christian people acted in kindness to each other and to the world around us, it would change the world. Sometimes I catch myself praying, "Oh, Lord, change the world." And he goes, "Act in patience and kindness. I'm trying, but I have to do it through you." That's tough, isn't it? I'd like to give my responsibility to God and say, "It's all on you, buddy." And he goes, "Oh, no, no, no. We're working in cooperation here. You're my feet. You're my hands, right? You're my eyes. You're my voice. Now act like it. Be kind. Be patient." If we were actually kind this week, people would wonder what happened to us. Who's that person that was so kind? And they would want what we have. Keep going back to my friend Bob's question of me and himself. Outside Douglas Houghton Hall 30-some years ago, he's staring up at the stars, 1-2 o'clock in the morning on a sleepless studying night, and he says, "Dave, what in us would make anybody out there want it?" Kindness will do that. Right? Kindness will do that. Does our town need a demonstration of Christian kindness this week? Okay. Could your marriage and your family benefit from genuine kindness this week? That was a little less loud. I'm getting older, but I still have my hearing, okay? The answer to that is yes. Okay, how about your workplace? Could it use a demonstration of Christian kindness this week? Yeah. Where does the kindness come from? The Holy Spirit inside of us. We have to put ourselves in His presence and at His disposal and say, "Lord, nurture kindness in me." So, you guys have been so good about this for months and months and months now. I'm going to ask Dawn to come to the piano. And I'm going to put the plea out. Nothing outrageous, right? We need to pray for ourselves, and we need to pray for each other, that the Holy Spirit would manifest His kindness through us this week. Would you come? And let's just spend some time in prayer. Say, "Holy Spirit, we want You to demonstrate Your kindness and nurture that kindness in me." Would you come, folks? And let's lift our voices and say, "God, we need that. My marriage needs it. My workplace needs it. My recreational environments need Your kindness. My family needs Your kindness." Just with your own voice, that's right. Just lift up your voice and say, "God, come Holy Spirit and help me. Come Holy Spirit and help me. I need You to help me. Right now, Lord, I need it. Boy, I can use it in my marriage. I can use it in my parenting. I can use it in my workplace, Lord. I'm not looking at anybody to the right or left. I'm just looking at me in the mirror right now. Holy Spirit, come and help me to live kindly. I want to walk and keep in step with You. And You are stepping each step with kindness, with patience. God, I want to follow in Your footsteps. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. It's so overwhelming to receive kindness. It's so overwhelming to be on this side of it. Lord, help me to be a person who someone else can receive from this week. I've received from You. You have not treated me as my sins deserve. And You do it over and over and over again. When I stumble, when I fall, when I do it deliberately, You don't treat me like I deserve. You are kind. You are patient. Jesus, thank You. Help me to have the same attitude to people who continually irritate, who continually stumble and fall and are broken, to people that I would normally just write off and categorize and put in some bin somewhere so I don't have to deal with them. Help me to be kind like You would be kind. For that discussion I'm going to have at work this week, Father. You know the hearts that we have here and the situations. Help us to be kind. Truthful, but kind. Help us, Lord. In our marriages, Lord, where there's been unkindness, help us to repent and own it. And then, Lord, to be kind. Lord, in our parenting, when there's been harshness, help us, Lord, to repent, to own it, to confess, and then to move forward in kindness. Truth, but kindness. Help us, Lord, to live this alternative lifestyle you've given us to live. A life of love and joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness. God, help us. We can't do it without you. Manifest your Spirit through us, we pray, in kindness. Now, would you begin to just pray for the person to your right and left? If you're up here, go ahead and lay hands on. If you're out there, you might not be close enough. But just go ahead and begin to pray for the person on your right and on your left. If you know them by name, go ahead and pray for them by name. And just say, God, manifest your Spirit through them with kindness this week. Manifest your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness through them this week. In their marriages, in their parenting, in their workplaces, in their places of recreation. Lord, in places that we don't feel are important. Lord, that we're just going about our business. Lord, at the grocery store, at the gas station, wherever it might be, at the DMV, Lord, help us to be kind. Help us to be kind this week. Lord, for our friends who are at home today worshiping for whatever reason, we pray that you would be kind. You be kind. Help them, Father God, to know your kindness. Help them to realize they're recipients of your kindness. And then, Holy Spirit, manifest as they surrender to you, as they obey, manifest your kindness through them in their environments of family, of parenting, of marriage, of work, of recreation, of just day-to-day tasks where we would never think, we want to be your people, we want to be kind, we want people to look at us and say, man, I want what they've got. I want what that group of people has over there. We have Jesus. Help them see Jesus. And my friend at my right, my friend at my left, help them to see Jesus. And Lord, right now, as we have hands laid on these friends, we pray, fill them with your Spirit. Would you do that? Just pray. Lord, fill them with your Spirit. Clothe them with your power. Clothe them with your power. Baptize them in your Holy Spirit, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. We need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. Fill them up as you've promised to do in your word. Let them overflow with the presence of the Holy Spirit this week. Yes, Lord. If you're still seated, would you stand with us? Let's sing it again. And you're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. God, you are so good to us. Thank you for your kindness. It is outrageous. It is generous. It is beyond belief. And now, Lord, we again say, help us, Holy Spirit, be kind as our Heavenly Father is kind in every aspect of life. And I pray that the light of our kindness would shine brightly into the darkness of the evil around us, wetting the appetite of people who need to know your goodness and your kindness. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen.